This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Here's what DC is talking about. While everyone else was freaking out about what the new AI search bot ChatGPT could do to students' term papers or people's jobs, Axios DC reporter Chelsea Ceruzzo decided to find out what it means for people trying to learn about Washington, DC. Bottom line, don't quit your day jobs, tour guides. Today, Chelsea and I and ChatGPT are chatting about what the internet gets wrong about DC. Today is Tuesday, March 14th. I'm Michael Schaefer, and this is CityCast DC. So, Chelsea, you tested ChatGPT's DC knowledge. How'd that go?
Yeah, it was actually pretty fun. So I decided to ask ChatGPT some pretty basic questions about what it knew about DC. Mostly a lot of like, what are some good things to do around town? What are the best restaurants? Frankly, it was a little bit underwhelming. It just kind of regurgitated a lot of stuff that I kind of felt like any tourist might know, like go to the Cherry Blossoms, go to the National Mall. So I tried to see if I could kind of get it to give us some more interesting answers, but it kind of came off a little bit as a tourist.
So you're saying that this robot doesn't live here?
Yeah, I don't think so.
She's from out of town. Yeah. What was the funniest mistake you saw?
Oh, I think the best one is I asked it to write a haiku about Dave Thomas Circle, and I'll just share it for you. It says, "Roundabout of grace, Dave Thomas Circle spins on, peaceful cars swirl by." If anyone's ever driven through Dave Thomas Circle, that couldn't be further from the truth.
Not a lot of grace or peace.
No.
So ChatGPT can't understand DC because the internet is confused about DC. That's sort of my theory of the case, mainly because of all the federal focus here. So people use the word Washington as like a metonym for the, you know, Uncle Sam, the federal government, et cetera. And local DC gets kind of unnoticed. Mm-hmm. If AI gets DC so wrong, what does that say about the general public's understanding of our town?
I think you're definitely right that it kind of confuses DC with Washington. Like I tried to prompt it to get into hometown DC, but it just kept kind of pulling out that, you know, we have Congress here, it's politics, power, which again is just so silly because, you know, we know that DC is really at the whim of Congress. So this sort of political power thing that it was like trying to tell me about DC, I thought was so interesting. Part of it possibly comes back to, again, like it pulls from the internet and people online might be writing DC when they really mean federal Washington. Certainly, you know, mistakes I made early on in my career trying to differentiate between the two. I've reported on both federal and local. So I honestly think it just comes down to this idea that DC is all just monuments and Congress when we just have this amazing culture otherwise. But it's hard for people to really parse through it. And ChatGPT is definitely not helping.
Wait, so what did they get right?
Well, I did ask it what the best restaurants in town were. Of course, it's an AI, so it tries to tell me that it doesn't have a favorite, but some of the best are the Dabney, which was ranked as the best local restaurant this year. So that kind of makes sense where that came from. It also mentioned Bad Saint, which had closed last year, but of course had always been included on these lists as one of the best restaurants.
And as I understand it, their knowledge ends in 2021.
Yes.
Like they stopped updating the database.
Yeah. And I think that's probably where this confusion comes from. Back in 2021, Bad Saint was still open. There were a lot of different things going on.
Did you ask it where you're supposed to stand on the escalators of the metro?
I did. It said you should stand right and walk left. So that was good. That was a good
check. True.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? If nothing else, a tourist who uses ChatGPT to figure out what to do will know how to walk when they're on the metro escalators. So that's a win, I think.
A big plus. So I mean, I think that it's funny because you did this sort of as a goof, but you wound up stumbling upon the like very real limitations of AI that are like important in like much heavier contexts, like lack of common sense. They can't really get context here, whether you're talking about like DC, the hometown, or DC, like the symbol of the country, and like biased responses. Did you run into any of that?
I mean, I think so. Not so much the bias, I would say, because again, it just kept telling me that it doesn't take sides or opinions, but here's what it pulled from this site and that site. But I do think it just doesn't have any nuance to it, or lacks a lot of nuance that I think when we're having conversations about, hey, what are you going to do in DC this weekend? It's not like many of us are saying, you know, I'm going to go down to the National Mall, which like, of course people do, but you might add in stuff like I'm going to go to the 930 Club, or I'm going to go to this bar that I really like. So I think that's a big component to it, which is kind of interesting, right? Because a lot of newsrooms are even considering now to use AI, use ChatGPT in its stories. So it's confusing, or I guess it's an interesting practice or study on how that will actually capture all that nuance.
So I think we should test it ourselves.
Yeah, let's do it.
Tell me if there's questions that you want to type in. We've got some ideas of our own too.
I mean, I would love to know where I can see the best flowers and blossoms around DC that's not the Tidal Basin, because it gets very crowded down there.
Where can I see the best flowers?
Yeah, the best blossoms.
All right. So, Chelsea, the answer is pretty long to that question.
Oh, wow.
And it says,
Washington, DC is famous for beautiful cherry blossoms, and there are several places where you can see them at their best. Here are some popular spots.
Then it mentions the Tidal Basin, the National Mall, the National Arboretum, East Potomac Park, and the Kenwood neighborhood of Bethesda, Maryland.
The last
is like a thing that locals like to think of as like a hot secret for ourselves.
Yeah.
Much to the displeasure of the residents of that neighborhood.
Yeah, that's surprising. Okay. I think that's good. The first few, I'm like, okay.
I'm curious how it answers like more amorphous questions. Like people are, I think sometimes inaccurately, always down on Washington's fashion sense.
Oh, yes.
So why don't we ask it, what is DC's fashion like?
Oh, I like that question. Yeah, I think I dress pretty well around here, but Twitter would tell me otherwise.
All right. So it says,
Washington, DC is a city with a diverse range of fashion styles influenced by the city's politics, history, and diverse population. Here are some of the fashion trends that you might see in Washington, DC. One, classic and conservative.
Oh, okay.
Fact check.
Interest. Depends on where you are. I feel like going out at night, it's different.
As the seat of government and home to many professionals, classic and conservative styles are often seen in Washington, D.C. This can include tailored suits, blazers, and pencil skirts.
Oh my God. I have not worn a pencil skirt in a while, but I guess like a tailored blazers is a staple for me.
All right, number two, preppy.
Washington, D.C. is home to several prestigious universities, and the preppy style is popular among students and young professionals. Accessories are an important part of fashion. It's boat shoes and khaki pants.
Okay, I can see that. Like maybe in Georgetown. And I mean, I went to AU. That sounds about right.
How's your boat shoe collection?
Lacking, but I have seen it.
You've seen others in boat shoes?
Yes.
You dropped the dime clearly to ChatGPT.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give them that. That's actually a pretty good one. But then again, I mean, it probably comes back to like, you know, everyone tweets the gingham shirt in the springtime, that all the men wear the gingham shirt. So
right.
Kind of comes back to that.
Right. The boyfriend shirt, because everyone's boyfriend
yes.
has one.
Yeah, exactly. Mine does.
Number three, activewear.
Activewear. With many people leading busy lives, activewear is a popular choice for many in Washington, D.C. This can include yoga pants, athletic shoes, and hoodies.
Yeah, I think that's about right. Definitely brunch time. Everyone's coming back from like their workout.
Number four, cultural influences.
Washington, D.C. is home to a diverse population, and you can see cultural influences in fashion choices. For example, you might see African prints, traditional Middle Eastern clothing, or South Asian saris.
Okay. I mean, I could see that. We have a lot of embassies and diverse groups here.
And number five, accessorizing.
Accessories are an important part of fashion in Washington, D.C. You might see people wearing statement jewelry, scarves, and hats to add a pop of color or personality to their outfits.
I feel like that's a little outdated. I don't know if anyone wears scarves and hats as much anymore.
They didn't mention the lanyards. You see a lot of lanyards around town.
Yes, especially in the summer.
All right. So we were thinking, what is dating like in D.C.?
Yes.
We actually had a disagreement about this at CityCast World Headquarters, where I was saying that I think the dating in DC is no different than people in the same socioeconomic class and group of tastes and so on dating anywhere else. And my colleagues who are a little closer to the fire on this disagreed violently with me.
Okay.
But let's see what ChatGPT has to say.
Yeah. I like that question.
What is dating in DC like?
Dating in Washington, DC can be exciting.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Good start.
As the city is full of young professionals and a diverse range of activities to enjoy. Here are some things to keep in mind when dating in DC. Number one, busy schedule. DC is known for its fast-paced and busy lifestyle, and this can make it challenging to find time for dating. Many people work long hours and have demanding jobs, which can make it difficult to schedule dates. However, there are many options for lunch dates, weekend brunches, and after-work happy hours.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. I'm buying it so far. People are busy, but there's times that you guys can hang out.
Number two, political climate. With its status as the nation's capital, politics can be a big part of dating in DC. This can be a point of conversation or even a deal breaker for some people. It's important to respect each other's political views and be open to discussing them in a mature way.
I'm open to discussing them in an immature way.
I kind of feel like that's what the vibe is. I don't know. I feel like there's stories every Valentine's Day of, you know, people dating across the aisle and it totally worked out. I do feel like a lot of people here are mainly liberal, and that probably makes it easier for people.
That's true. But I also think that this knock on DC is a, like, you know, it's a town of constant, ceaseless political warfare and people can't get. I actually think like for a lot of people who work, you know, close to politics, either, you know, in politics or in influence industry or whatever, they actually, compared to people almost anywhere else in the country, just as a matter of professional necessity, they have to be able to deal with people who have different politics because they just, you know, that's part of the job. So I feel like it's in like the rest of the country where the like newspapers before Thanksgiving have like advice columns about how to like not have a huge fight with your conservative uncle at Thanksgiving. And here, actually, people are better at that. That's my sense. I think that buys into a false stereotype.
No, I agree with that. I've never heard a friend tell me that their date had started some kind of political argument. Maybe they talked about it, but like it's not been a huge issue.
Right. It's better. More likely they're going to argue about where to see the cherry blossoms.
Right. Exactly. That's important, you know?
Okay. So it says number three thing to keep in mind about dating in DC, diverse activities.
DC offers a wide range of activities for dating, from visiting museums and art galleries to outdoor activities like hiking or kayaking on the Potomac River. There are also many trendy restaurants, bars, and nightlife options to choose from.
Yeah, I think that sounds right, too. I think one of the things that didn't mention, DC definitely has a reputation for like lots of drinking and lots of alcohol. But though I know a lot of people who are sober, too, so I think that, you know, one of the main issues my friends who date have had is finding places they could go if they don't drink or their partner doesn't drink. But that's kind of getting better, I think.
Number five is an interesting claim, and that is high standards.
For ambitious and successful people in D.C., there can be high expectations when it comes to dating. People in D.C. often have high standards for their partners, including education level, career success, and personal values.
Huh. I would hope people have high standards. I don't know if it has to do with like education or I don't know or what, but I would say people here are pretty confident in themselves. I've noticed that a lot. Like people have really cool jobs or have cool things going on that they're confident and they know themselves really well. So they expect their partner to be kind to them, which it sounds like a very low barrier, but you know.
Yeah.
I would hesitate to say any city people have low standards of their dates.
Well, except that people are always joking about like the bleak dating environment and how they're having to lower their standards.
Yes, that's true.
You know?
See, part of me is like, how much of that is really true and how much of it is like, I'm just going to make a joke on Twitter about how I can't get a date.
The brand new Arbor at Tacoma is built for your most convenient urban living. Whether you want to enjoy the vibrant Tacoma, DC community or comfortably retreat into a sleek sanctuary all your own, The kitchens have striking dark navy and white cabinets, and throughout the home, there are wood floors and smart home technology. Some homes even have a private outdoor space. With a quick walk to the metro, you can easily head into downtown or stay close and enjoy the retail that's on site. Located at 218 Cedar Street Northwest, the Arbor Tacoma offers brand new one- and two-bedroom condos starting in the upper 300,000s. Visit thearborattacoma.com for more information. That's Tacoma with a K. So thearborattacoma.com.
Let's be real. Lawsuits are not fun. But with Paulson & Nace, at least they're a little easier. Paulson & Nace is a D.C. law firm in every sense of the word. It was founded here in 1979. The two partners, Chris and Matt Nace, were both born here and are local leaders who care deeply about the D.C. community. Paulson & Nace handles medical malpractice, wrongful death, and other complex injury cases when someone has been hurt by the negligence of others. And they don't just settle every case. They'll go to court. They'll fight for you. Paulson & Nace has even been recognized as one of U.S. News' best law firms. So, if you have been hurt or have lost a loved one because of someone else's mistake or negligence, call Paulson & Nace for a no-obligation consultation. Visit www.paulsonandnace.com or call 202-463-1999. Wait, we got a question suggestion from the Hey DC reader called Alex. And Alex asks us to ask AI, design an effective strategy for the district to become a state.
Oh, okay, cool. I like that question.
Highly relevant right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Requires careful consideration and strategic planning.
That's true, but that also would be true if you're talking about designing a vacation for yourself.
Yeah.
Here are some steps that can be taken to design an effective strategy for the district to become a state. Number one, build a strong coalition.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I think that, but I think we've done that.
Number two, focus on the economic benefits.
Okay. Okay, well.
Highlighting the economic benefits of statehood, such as increased representation and tax revenue, can be a powerful argument for gaining support. Developing a comprehensive economic plan that demonstrates the benefits of statehood, including job creation and increased access to federal funds, can be a key part of the strategy.
I'm just going to go out on a limb here, but I think ChatGPT may misunderstand the problem here, because that focus would suggest that, like, there are a huge number of local residents who need to be convinced of this, as opposed to a huge number of members of the Congress who answer to voters elsewhere and don't particularly care if you or I receive economic benefits.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone here is on board with it. I know last year, Congress members who are not supportive of statehood had said, oh, DC has no economy, they don't have an airport, they don't have a car dealership, there are no mines or whatever, and which all of that doesn't, we do have a car dealership, but maybe that's where it's coming from.
Number three, develop a clear message.
Okay.
Number four, mobilize public support. Number five, engage with Congress and the White House.
Oh, okay. I think that's kind of where we're stuck right now, like level five.
Number six, focus on long-term advocacy.
I suspect that this set of principles could be applied to pretty much any campaign for anything.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about the last one, because I think that if we were to become a state, we don't need to long-term advocate to be a state, to remain a state. I think it's a done deal. Yeah, right. I don't think it understands what the issue is here.
Right, and I think that the 220 years of the city's existence are probably fairly long term.
Yeah, the public support I think is there.
Hey, so when you were doing your piece, which I thought was so funny in Access DC, what were some of the other fun things that you got out of it?
Yeah, I think on the statehood front, I'd asked it what was on DC's license plates, and it told me that the DC's motto is on it, which is justice for all, which, as we know, is not it. So I'm kind of thinking now that maybe ChatGPT is anti-statehood with all these answers. So I asked it about that. Oh, I asked it to, I mean, I always asked it to write poems. I thought that'd be pretty fun. Again, totally underwhelming. It told me in the heart of our nation stands DC, a city of power and history. I'm like, okay, well, you can say that for many cities.
Well, also, geographically, that's not necessarily accurate. The heart of the nation, that is.
Oh, I mean,
maybe symbolically.
the edge of the nation, the east side of the nation.
So what's this told you about whether you're going to use AI for your own future tourism activities?
Probably not. Maybe if another city that I'm going to visit, because I do like touring, and like if I'm visiting a city, like I do want to do touristy stuff. Why not? You know, it's there for a reason. So that might inform what I'm going to do. Definitely not for DC. I feel like I'd rather ask DCist or 730, all the wonderful news we already have here, because it doesn't seem like
there's also a leading local podcast.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've heard of them. CityCast DC. yeah. I mean, I don't think that ChatGPT is a subscriber, unfortunately, to all of our lovely news services. So I will be, and I'll just rely on them.
Chelsea, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
And before you go, lead producer Priyanka Tilbe is here with some quick news.
DC's 7th District Police Unit is facing increased scrutiny after prosecutors had to drop 65 gun possession cases in 1 month because of mishandled seizures. Investigators are already looking into the unit for repeatedly stopping people and seizing their guns without making any arrests. 7 officers have been on administrative leave or desk duty since October because of these issues. Meanwhile, for the first time ever, middle school students in Fairfax will get to play official team sports next year. The county put aside $600,000 for cross-country and track teams, which would be the first sports program for middle school students in the district. The superintendent hopes the program will help boost attendance, health, and academic progress. And lastly, DC Council is considering a bill that would create a new LGBTQ Pride license plate. Fees from the plates would be used to support programs and resources at the city's Office of LGBTQ Affairs. DC already has specialty license plates supporting the Nationals baseball team, veterans, the environment, and more. Okay, back to you, Michael.
Today's DC life hack comes from listener Richard Trent. He's the executive director of the group Friends of Anacostia Park, and he reached out after hearing our episode last week about the 11th Street Bridge project.
I hear stories like the one you did, and I'm on the one hand very excited about this new project, but also there's already a massive national park east of the river in Anacostia. It's bigger than Central Park. It spans 1,100 acres for 8 miles along the Anacostia River. It's beautiful. It's the backyard park of 155,000 black and brown D.C. residents. It is magical. And all the stuff that we're talking about wanting to see, right, of communities commingling and cultural kinship and creative placemaking, it's literally already happening at Anacostia Park.
So if you haven't already, be sure to check out Anacostia Park. It's right along the Anacostia. That's all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, post about it everywhere so ChatGPT takes notice. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Bye. Oh, man, we should have got ChatGPT to write us an intro.